What a good day in the Lord. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I tell you what, let's do. Everybody that's glad to be here, how about to stand up? Let's show our appreciation just for a few minutes. Amen. Well, most everybody's glad they're here. So while they're herding these young men out, he's glad to be here. Did y'all see him clapping and having a good time, skipping out the door? No, he's gone. Melvin's gone. He's supposed to give them candy every week. I don't know what they're going to do. They may not leave. You know, they're used to every week walking by and Melvin handed out that candy. And, you know, he's laid out on the seas. At least I heard he's still in Alaska somewhere. You know, I hadn't kept too good account of him. I talked to him one time, I believe, when he had phone service. So I thought, you know, that's probably good, but he's probably talking the ears off everybody up there. All right, y'all be seated. I just want you to get relaxed just a few minutes. Good to be here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know. Y'all might think, well, he's just picking on Melvin. I do it if he's here or not. It don't make any difference to me. You know, I know how he is. So good to see everybody come this way. Beth's card didn't explain all of it. I thought about this when she was up there, and I started just to get up and tell it. We got thrown out of the courtroom. We did, but it wasn't because we misbehaved, was it? We were good. I mean, there's about 40 of us over there. It might have been Tommy's fault. I don't know. We got thrown out of the courtroom. We was being real nice and all that, but he cleared the courtroom. He decided it'd be a closed hearing instead of an open hearing, so stood us out in the hallway for about 2.5-3 hours. And then I reckon they decided, well, they're not going away. Amen. We're still in the hallway about 2.5-3 hours later, standing out there hot. And they decided, well, they're not going away, so I guess we'll give them a room back here, a jury room, and at least let them come in and sit down. So that's kind of the way it went. Nothing was decided. Nothing came of it. But I know the card was read, but I want to say heartfelt, I appreciate everybody showing up. Over there. This is a special need and a special cause, and I know it meant a lot to Beth and Nate. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, by the way, it meant something to you, Pastor. It did. Made a difference. You know, I was pleased to see the people that was interested showed up. And I know people had to work, and I know it was a situation, and they drug it out. This was the third time we're supposed to go. And I know some people have used up their days off already and couldn't make it. But everybody that could and everybody that did, I appreciate it, and I'm sure they did too. It's not settled yet. It's not over. And we hadn't give up yet. I don't believe in giving up. We'll just continue with it. Continue to pray about it. You know, God can change, and he can do all kind of stuff. I'm just... Yeah, I turned it off before it has a fit. It don't like me. When I get up here and bounce around a little bit, it starts making all kind of rackets. But it's okay. It's going to be all right. I want to look at the Word of God today. Several things on my mind. You know, Jake was talking about this morning about adding parts and putting things together and making a better Christian. Well, you know, I'm kind of on the same theme. I want to talk about some things that really make a difference. I want to go to Old Testament this morning. A lot of people say, well, you spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. Well, New Testament tells us it's our schoolmaster. Amen? That's what it's listed as a schoolmaster, that we might learn and be brought forward into the age of grace. And so when I think about schoolmaster, I don't see anybody here that couldn't stand to learn a little bit more. I'm looking around. Ain't nobody jumped up and said, I know it all, you know. But when we start talking about schoolmasters, it's about learning. And so anytime we could process something in our life that we could learn to be a better Christian, a child of God, I think it's beneficial to us in the long run. I want to look at Old Testament, if you'll turn with me this morning, to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to talk about Moses just a little bit. We're going to talk about the spies that were sent in to look out the promised land. You know, they had traveled across the wilderness. They had come into a spot, and when they got to a certain place, we're going to find that the Lord spoke to Moses. Now, when we start talking about learning, the first two verses, the first verse, first and second verse of this, is our first illustration on what we need to learn, that when God speaks, we need to listen. Amen? Everybody got that one pretty easy. When God speaks, we need to listen. And then we don't need to just be hearers of the word, but we need to be doers of the word. So Numbers chapter 13, y'all turn there with me, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. So here's the first indication we got about learning, and we start talking about the schoolmaster. We can learn a lot from what Moses did. You know, here comes the word of God. He tells Moses what he wants to happen. What does Moses do? Exactly what God asked. Exactly what God asked. He didn't add to it, didn't take away from it. God had told him to send fathers of every tribe, and that's exactly what he did. He didn't say, well, you know, God probably didn't mean all that. Let's just do part of it. No, he did it all, and so he prepared these people. And I got thinking about all this trip across the wilderness. You know, it was a discouraging time for a lot of people. You find they were up and down like kind of like a yo-yo. You know, one day they're on top of the world, next day they're on bottom of the world. This happened, that happened. But all the way through, God was watching over and taking care of them. So when we start learning the process, we need to remember the things that God has already brought us through and God hadn't changed, that He'll continue to bring us through. So Moses is preparing to send out men, one out of every tribe, and they're going to go over and they're going to look at this land of Canaan, and this promised land. You know, this is what God promised before the children of Israel ever left Egypt. When they're still down in Egypt, he gave them a glimpse and a promise that I'm going to take you to a better land. I'm going to take you to a better place. Now, as we start learning and we start getting educated in the Word of God, we understand that we're on the way to a better place. If you're a child of God, if you believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven. And it'd be pretty good to get a glimpse of it every now and then, wouldn't it? I mean, we can just get a glimpse. There may be people more eloquent in words than I am, or a better vision of heaven, because I don't think I can do justice to tell you what all is going to take place and what all is going to happen. I can tell you bits and I can tell you pieces by this word of God. But as far as me knowing all, I don't believe I know it all. I don't believe you know it all. But when we start talking about the promise that God has given that day and time, when he started out of Egypt, he said, I'm going to take you to a better place. I'm going to give you a better land. And we've got that same promise living with us today. And so Moses chooses out these men, and he's going to send them over. In verse 17, look at that, chapter 13, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so here goes the orders sent out to these 12 spies that are to go into the other land. And Moses is wanting to know what it is. Now he had had the promise of God. God had described it as a land of milk and honey. He had described it as a great and precious land with many waters and a lot of wood therein. But I'm telling you, I think Moses found himself kind of in the same shape I'm in today. When I talk about heaven, I can just talk about bits and pieces. When Moses started talking about the promised land, I believe he could only talk in bits and pieces. But he had an opportunity to send these men out and spy it out, look it over, and said, you come back. I want you to go look at it and see what it is. I want to know for sure that I may just give a glimpse of it to these children, to this congregation. Now, everybody wasn't going. Just a few were going to go. When he told them, he said, I want you to bring all the fruits of it. He said, I want you to bring the fruits of it. Now, you think about that situation. Would anybody here like to have a fruit from heaven this morning? You think about it. You know, and that's what he's going to do to these people. They were looking forward to this promised land the same as we look toward heaven. When he told them these things, they went up and they did what Moses said in verse 23. And they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So they brought part of this fruit back. When you think about a one cluster of grapes hanging on a pole between two men, that sounds pretty big, don't it? Y'all know what a cluster of grapes usually look like, about like that. Can you imagine one hanging on a pole between two men carrying it and they're taking it back? When I started thinking about this, I got a little excited and thought they're going to have the fruit. They're going to taste the fruit. They're going to know the fruit before they ever get to the promised land. I believe there's times in our life that we can have the fruit and taste the sweetness of heaven even before we get there. According to God's word, he says we can know and we can understand that God's prepared better. One cluster of grapes on a pole between two men. I think that goes to show the ability of God to do more than we ever thought about. I've never saw a cluster of grapes like that of you, but I believe they did. I believe they saw it swinging on a staff between two men, carrying it back into the camp. Everybody's probably saying, wow, can you see this? I think it's to let us know that God can do more and beyond anything we've ever imagined. I think they never one time imagined this cluster of grapes. But they saw it. And they had the promise. In verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and said unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And so here they go. They tell him about the land. He said, it surely floweth with milk and honey. Had to get everybody excited and fired up to know that they're headed for a place better than they'd ever saw before, better than anything that they could ever compare it to. This is where they were headed. But in verse 28, now, when we start learning, I want you to learn this about a positive and a negative report. I got convicted of this Thursday. I was a little bit negative Wednesday about our court systems and about our lawyers and about everything that goes on. And I said some stuff I guess I shouldn't have said. As your pastor, I apologize for it. I should have just stayed quiet. Because I wasn't doing something to help. I wasn't doing something to encourage. I was tearing down. Any of y'all that thought you had a perfect pastor, you're wrong. He has problems and makes mistakes just the same as y'all do. And Thursday, all day Thursday, I thought about some things I'd said on Wednesday. And just making some of the same, I guess, conclusions y'all would have made too. But it bothered me. Bothered me, and I'll just have to let up on it. You know, that's all I can do now. I can't take it back. It's like trying to unscramble an egg. Right? You just can't do it. Once it's done, it's there. Best thing you can do then, just, you can't unscramble an egg, but you can cook it and eat it and enjoy it, I guess. That's all that's left to do. So here we go. It's not all about me. In verse 28, they said, nevertheless. Now, that's a pretty big word. You know, they're telling them how good it is and how everything is. But then they say, nevertheless. That means, wait a minute. And it said, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, listen to all these kites. Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and the sea by the coast of Jordan. And so here's a report going on about from the men that went in and spied it out. They've looked it over. And what do they have? They have kind of a negative report. It's good about the land, but it's about the people that live there. Now, First of all, I want you to understand, after God had brought them through all the obstacles of the wilderness, after he brought them through Red Sea and all these things that's going to happen and take place, how can they ever doubt God when he says, go get it? There's one thing we need to learn as Christians, that we don't doubt God. I'm going to show you just in a few minutes that one of the things that I think stirs him up about as much as anything is our doubting him. When we doubt God. In verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So here's these men saying one thing. Here's Caleb saying another thing. And I'm thinking in my mind, they went to the same country. They saw the same things. Why are some of them so negative and some of them so positive? The answer is once. Depends and trusts God. The rest of them are dependent and trusting herself. In verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. When I got thinking about, you know, they judged themselves as grasshoppers, you know, belittling themselves. I think this was one mistake that they made right then, that they trying to put everybody in the same classification with them. They were all trying to say, we just don't have any strength. We don't have any might to go up against these mighty people. Said there's giants there. And said we're as grasshoppers in our sight and we're as grasshoppers in their sight. What you see yourself as, other people might see you the same way. Y'all got that one? If you think you're a grasshopper, somebody else probably going to think you're a grasshopper. I don't think people need to deny or belittle themselves. Now, don't try to be something you're not, but be yourself. Down in verse 7, you'll find that they discouraged all the congregation. 10 of these men had. In verse 6, let's start there. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were with them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the country of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now here's 10 men saying we can't do it. Here's 10 men saying they're greater, they're stronger than us. Here's 2 men seeing the exact different thing because they're seeing it through the vision and the eyes of God, knowing the God, power of God and not denying that, and telling others, said, don't rebel against God. Don't rebel against God. Rebellion against God. A lot of it goes on today. I don't know anywhere I could go today and just walk up face to face and say, have you rebelled against God? And get an answer. Get a true answer. If I saw some of the people that quit church and quit their service to God, is that not rebellion against God? But nobody wants to admit, I've rebelled. Nobody wants to admit these things because they fear God and what he'll do. But just because they don't speak it, their actions show it, and God knows it. Plain? Rebellion's a dangerous thing with God. He don't like it. Verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. This was God rescuing, more or less rescuing Caleb and Joshua. He was more or less rescuing them with this glory of God being seen in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. They all saw this glory of God. They were wanting to stone these two men. These two men had not followed suit. They had not went with the majority. Majority is a dangerous thing. Majorities, just because they're most in number, don't mean they're always right. When majority goes against the Word of God, they're wrong. So we're learning today that it don't always pay to be in the majority. Sometimes it's better to be where God wants us to be instead of majority. And so here's Joshua and Caleb fixing to be stoned. God rescues them. In verse 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? And God's asking a question to Moses. He said, just how long is this going to take place? How long will this people provoke me? So you're talking about provoking an almighty God because of what? Rebellion. Because of rebellion. Rebellion comes in a lot of different forms. You know, I think it's possible for us to be rebellious right here in this church if we go against the cause and the Word of God. In verse 12, God threatens. He said, I'll smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And so God makes a threat to the people because of rebellion, because they had not trusted in Him. That's the first rebellion we start when we fail to trust God and what He's already done in their life. He said, I've showed them signs. I've showed them sign after sign after sign, and yet they rebel against me. You know, when I think about the life of a lot of people here, I see the evidence of God working in so many people's lives and working out situations, not always what we want, but what's best for us. You know, that's kind of hard to swallow sometimes, that you think what you want's not best for you. I saw it happen. I saw the results of it years down the road and look back and think, well, God knew best. And when we start talking about these people that although God had done all these things for, they still wanted to doubt. They wanted to have this rebellion. They had a situation in their life that they just said, let's trust ourselves. Let's trust ourselves. This was 10-2. That's pretty strong odds. But guess who won? The two won because they stood on God's side. Numbers don't always make it right. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. That's what I wanted to bring this morning. Samantha and Shana, y'all got a song? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, let's get them up here. They were all out. Kids sick last week, wasn't it? Oh, it was you? Okay. It was your fault then. You had a sick girl last week. I knew one of them had a sick girl last week. We're going to have a song. Anybody that needs to pray about anything, just come up. I've said a lot about rebellion, and a lot of people don't consider it in their life, but you find yourself in a situation that instead of accepting God's will in your life, instead of opening yourself to His love, you have this little sense that you want to be right. You want to obey. You know. Maybe I'm just talking. Lord, maybe I'm the only one here, I guess. Has ever had this problem? Could be, you know. I don't know y'all's mind and heart. So God, you know, forgive me. And anybody else here that's in the same situation. I know somebody looked funny at me when I said that I had to repent from some things I did Wednesday. I didn't get out of the way or nothing. I just kind of bad-mouthed the court system and the judges and all the lawyers and everybody else that walked through there. Amen. Bad-mouthed every one of them. I don't know if it was the truth or just my aggravation about what took place. That's why I said I'll apologize to y'all. I don't think I embarrassed anybody because most of them didn't know who I was. Amen. I didn't have a sign on me that said pastor. If I had a sign on me that said pastor or child of God, I might have been quiet. You know what I mean? Could have been quiet. Amen. Let's have a verse of song. Anybody need to pray? Y'all come on up.
Hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you face the life's decisions, not sure. Wonder where He's been, friend, there never